from the Word today? Okay, I want you to turn to two passages of Scripture. They're both going to be in the New Testament. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6 and 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to talk about fear, worry, anxiety, and focusing on the Son of Jesus through the clouds of anxiety. How many of you ever had fear, anxiety, or worry? All right, if you're living, you've experienced those things. Some of you are lying, and you need to tell the truth in church. But let's pray before we get started, okay? Father, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you that the spirit of fear has no place here today. And God, that you gave us power, love, and a sound mind. And so, Lord, I'm asking for your love to flow through me to your people, because your word says that perfect love is what casts out fear. And so, Lord, we just want your love to be just flowing in this place today. God, that people are going to leave here knowing the Father's love today. And that's why Jesus came, to introduce us to the Father and have a relationship with him through Jesus. And so, God, we just thank you for your love today. Your love covers a multitude of sins. Your love, is the chief thing in the Bible, is the number one thing. And so, God, we just pray for your love to just flow through this message today and through your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. All right, we're going to talk about some things that have bothered me in my life, and I have been bothered by anxiety, by fear, and by worry. I had y'all raise your hands, most of you in here. Every one of you has experienced this in some way. And I call it the triple threat of the enemy. And the AFW, if you want to write that down, AFW, that stands for anxiety, fear, and worry, the triple threat of the enemy. And I've been kind of doing a series without doing a series, really, but because each one of these are standalone messages. But our theme scripture through this whole thing has been Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. And I think you need to hear the word. The Bible even says that. You need to hear the word and hear it so it produces faith in you. But Romans 12, verses 1 through 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the two words there I want you to focus on is actually in verse 2. It says, do not be conformed to this world. And that word conform, there's a Greek word, I can't pronounce the Greek word, but that was where we get the word schematic from. And so it just means like, it says don't be like the world, don't follow under their schematics. You need to do a whole different thing. And God says, when we get into his word, it says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind according to the word of God. So we have to transform, and that's where we get the word metamorphosis. Metamorphosis, and that's like changing from a caterpillar into a butterfly. And we can do that as Christians, but we have to get into the Word of God. And everybody said, amen. Amen. That's why there's a lot of Christians today. I'm not saying that they're not going to heaven. They know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but they still act like schematics. Their schematics, their system is still like the world. They still act a whole lot like the world, because they're not getting in the Word of God and renewing their mind. And that's why me as a pastor, I'm sending you daily scriptures. You can get Harvest Time Club, text the word harvest to 68683, reply with a Y, and then you're signed up. Get this daily devotional. Get the Word in you every day. Amen. The Word works. Yes. Look at somebody say, the Word works. The Word, this Word today is not for your neighbor. Is not for your spouse. The word is supposed to work on us. How many of you ever heard a message like, oh man, I hope my spouse is listening to this? Yeah, oh yeah, we all. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the word is supposed to work on us. The more that I study Romans 12, 1 through 2, the more that I realize, and the Apostle Paul is the one that's teaching this and writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the more that I realized what happened in the fall, which is in Genesis chapter 3. A lot of us, when we think about the fall, or I do, we think, well, it was just, we fell spiritually, and we fell out of relationship with God, and so therefore, you know, we've got to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior so that we can go to heaven one day. Yes, that's part of it. Not gonna, but what happened in the fall was not just spiritually, but it affected us in our body. We didn't live as long. Sin affects our body. We don't live as long today. And then it also didn't just affect us spiritually, but it also affected our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Adam and Eve jacked this whole thing up. It wasn't Eve. It wasn't just Eve. It was Adam and Eve. They were a team. They both knew what they were doing. And I'm just sitting here going, God, I can't wait till that day that we get to heaven and we figure out how this was supposed to be. And the best analogy that I could come up with you for today was when we had these little kids sitting up here. They don't worry about how they're clothed. Mom and dad worry about that, how they're going to come clothe the church. They don't worry about all those things. They don't worry how they're going to have to pay the bills. They don't have all these anxious thoughts that we do. They don't have all these fears that we do. They just trust Mom and Dad are going to take care of me. And if you can wrap your mind around that, that was what was in the Garden of Eden in our relationship with God then. But we bought the lie of the enemy that we could be like God, and we partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil so that we could be like God knowing good and evil. And it did something to our mind. It did something to our brain, even physically, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And I'm going to talk more about that. That's what's going on. And the only thing that's going to take care of this is like a computer up here. The only thing that's going to get this back to what it needs to be is, you know, when I have computer problems, I'm looking back here, I call Travis Bourne. He knows everything about it. But when we're having computer problems up here, we need to get into the Word of God. And that's what's going to reprogram our mind. And so there was a lot of things. I just wanted to show you that there was a lot of things that happened in the fall, spiritually, in our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions, and in our body. It affects everything. I even had a pastor tell me one time, I heard a message one time, and I don't know if you, I do believe that there are people that had near-death experiences, or actually had died and gone to heaven. I've heard about those. But I heard a person say this one time. He said, and I thought it just made me think about the fall and, you know, how we even see today the world. And he said, you know, when he said, I had this glimpse of heaven, and colors are even different in heaven. Green is really green. He said, and I realized here on earth, green is tainted because of sin. Even the colors are tainted. So I'm just trying to tell you that the fall of man, sin, affected everything that's around us. And so, but we're talking about the mind today. Okay, so everybody in here worries, right? Everybody in here has some anxious thoughts. Everybody has some fears. All right, we're going to go to see what Jesus said. In Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34, and I love what it was. I left the title in there in my New International Version Bible. It says the title of this passage of Scripture when Jesus was teaching on the Sermon on the Mount was "Do Not Worry." He was looking at all the people, and he could tell they were worried. They had anxious thoughts. They had fears. And here's Jesus, the Son of God, and he's teaching. He says, "Do not worry." He says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them." This is something else. Jesus is just making this so simple. He says, "Are you not much more valuable than they?" Look at somebody say, "You're better than a bird." You're better than a bird. Tweet, tweet. Yeah, you can tweet that right now. Tweet that on, or post that on social media. You're better than a bird. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And the answer to that is no. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, "What shall we eat?" or "What shall we drink?" or what shall we wear? For the pagans, the unbelievers, run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen, Jesus. It sure does. But I want to, there's, you know, in this passage of Scripture, he starts off by talking about God, and then in verse 32, he uses the word Father in verse 32. For the pagans or the unbelievers run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Get you into Jesus' day. When they went to the synagogue, it was made to feel like the religious system, that God is this, he's so far off. He's not worried about you and what you're going, he's not concerned about you and what you're going through. He's got bigger things to take care of. And it was just this religious God. There was no relationship. It was just out of duty and obligation that you went to the synagogue. And here's Jesus, shows up on the scene, and he does most of his teaching and preaching and ministry is outside the church. Hello. I'm going to tell you, most of what happens is going to happen outside the church walls with people in everyday life. And so Jesus is out there talking to them, and he's telling them about the Father. He's like, the reason why you're worried and upset and fearful and all this stuff is because you don't know how much God loves you, and you don't realize that God is not just God, the Most High God. He wants to be your Father. He wants to take care of you. He loves you. And they had never heard anybody teach like this from the pulpit or anywhere, and they're just sitting there on the Sermon on the Mount, on the mountainside, just flabbergasted. God wants to be my Father. He wants to take care of me. And Jesus is like, yeah, down to the very clothes you wear. In fact, you know, Jesus went on to tell him, he knows how many hairs are on your head and the lack thereof. I'm not looking at anybody right now either. Thank you, Jesus. I should not have made that comment because I have a full head of hair and I want to keep it because I have a size 8 head. Thank you. Because I will not look good bald, I promise you. And God knows that. Amen. All right. But verse 33 is the one I want to hone in on. Because verse 33, Jesus, because when we're worried and we're fearful and we have anxious thoughts, then we feel like that we're out of control, so then we try to control things. Am I telling the truth? So we feel out of control, we feel like we got to control things. And Jesus was telling us, when that happens, when you start feeling those kind of that way, those kind of emotions, those kind of thoughts, verse 33 ought to kick in your mind. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We need to go to God first instead of our last resort. And that's what we normally do. We try to figure it all out ourselves. We try to control, manipulate, do whatever we got to do to make sure this is all going to go well, but we don't go to God first. We go to him as the last resort. And when you go to God first, then he's going to lead you and guide you by his mighty hand to show you what needs to be done. We can save a whole lot of time and us trying to figure it out. Just this morning, I'm gonna share this, even though we prayed for somebody. Christina, I'm gonna use you as a sermon illustration this morning. She came up here to pray for Sam, and Sam's like, really? Mom prayed for me. Yeah, she did. Because Sam's going to college tomorrow to SWASU. Give Sam a big hand clap. Good job, Sam. Proud of you. But she came up here because she was having anxious thoughts about that. She had some fears, some worries, some concern. Now, here I am as a pastor, and Jada's with me, and we're praying for her. And here's the deal. I would have, if she didn't feel that way, then I would think something's wrong, right? But she did something very wise, is she brought it to the Lord first. She didn't try to control, manipulate all this, be the helicopter mom, blah, 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 you know, over Sam. She brought it up here, and she said, I just want you to pray that Sam's going to have a blessed time at school and, you know, all that all goes with it. That's what we do. Amen? I wish I could tell you that you're going to leave here today and you're never going to have an anxious thought, you're never going to have a worry, and you're never going to have a fear. I would be lying if I said that, but I'm trying to teach you what to do when they come. And when they come, turn it into a prayer first. Don't try to manipulate it. Don't try to control it. Don't try to figure it out. How many of you ever tried to figure God out? I do that all the time. And God just says, Mark, you're just wasting mental energy. Just give it to me and release it and let me guide you and show you what to do. And then that's when humility comes in, which we're going to talk about here in just a second. Is everybody learning something today? All right. If I could put my sermon in a sentence today, and I always try to do this because I heard, you know, I never went to seminary, but I've taken some classes that on how to teach and preach God's word because I want to get better at my craft. I want to get better in breaking the bread with you guys. Amen? Amen? Pastor Mark wants to get better. So I've taken some classes. Probably need to take some more too. But I love this one guy that was teaching, and he was teaching about how to teach and preach. And he said, for the love of God and for the love of all people and of all mankind, make a point. And so he said, if you can't put your sermon in a sentence, then you need to redo your sermon and get a thought, you know, and let it be God's thought, not your thought, but get that thought and build your message around that. So here's my sermon in a sentence, and I wrote it down for you because this is so true, and this is what Jesus was teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, is the root issue of all chronic anxiety, fear, and worry. And I'm talking about chronic, all right? Because we're like I said earlier, we're all going to have those, like Christina come up here to me. We're going to have life circumstances where we're going to have some anxiety, fear, and worry. We just need to take that to God first. But the root issue of all chronic anxiety, fear, and worry is the orphan spirit and not understanding how much the Father loves us. That's the bottom line. Your relationship with the Father, and that's what Jesus was teaching the people in the Sermon on the Mount, was you have a Father that loves you, that cares for you, what you wear, what you eat, what you everything. He cares for you in all those areas. So Jesus came saying Father and teaching people that the Father loves you, and they had never heard that in the synagogue, that God loved them. It was always God's mad at you because you're a sinner and you need to get stuff right. Has anything changed since Jesus was here? Not much. You know, not a whole lot has changed. You know, that message is still preached predominantly. And God is saying, no, that's not the message I want people to hear. I want people to hear that I love them. Love. Love, love. Look at somebody and say, I love you. And God loves you. All right. I shared this scripture earlier in the service, but 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So just know when fear, anxiety, and worry comes, because it's going to come, it is a spirit, but God didn't give you that spirit. That's where you go to Him first in prayer, give it to Him in your relationship with Him. He says, I'm going to replace that with my power, my love, and give you a sound mind. And everybody said amen. You may need to just write that scripture down, put it on your refrigerator and your vehicle, and memorize that and get it in your heart. Now, I want to go to somebody in scripture, and we're going to go to switch gears here for just a little bit and get even more practical. And we're going to go to the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to look at a passage of scripture there. And how many of you know Peter had some issues? If you've ever studied Peter when he started out, he had some issues, a lot of issues. And he liked to control things and manipulate things. And when Jesus said, I got to go to Jerusalem and be crucified, he was like, no, you don't, Jesus. What are you talking about? And Peter even stepped in there and called Jesus aside and basically was like going to teach Jesus something and saying, Jesus, I don't think you need to do this. And Jesus, and if you know this passage of scripture, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Whoa. You know, talk about a demotion. Here's Peter thinking he's the number one disciple, and here's Jesus calling him Satan. But Jesus was saying, you're being inspired. Those thoughts are coming from the enemy's camp. I've got to do this for all of mankind. Aren't you glad Jesus listened to the Father and not to Peter? I am too. And so Peter was constantly popping off. Peter was saying, I'm going to stand with you till the very end. He was the first one to leave, you know, all that whole story. He was, you know, he abandoned Jesus, all these things. And then even before Jesus was crucified, you know, Peter steps in there and has a sword and he cuts a guy's ear off. Jesus has to heal him. This is all in the Bible. You need to go read it. And it is so, you know, and you're just thinking about Pete. This guy was messed up. He had a lot of issues. And by this time, though, when we go to 1 Peter, this is an older man of God. He's seasoned. He's had some experiences. He's walked with the Father. The Holy Spirit's been working on him. He's renewed his mind at this point. And so he's teaching the church. This church is going through some suffering at this particular time, some persecution. So they were afraid. They were fearful. They were worried. They were anxious, all those things. And here's this seasoned apostle of God who used to cuss people out, who's now teaching them something inspired by the Holy Spirit, and we're going to look at that. But let me back up before we get to 1 Peter chapter 5. When I just read 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, I'm going to give you a psychology term, what they call this is, and I found this very interesting, and Taya may know about this because she's, Taya's getting her master's degree in psychology at SWASU and starting this fall, but I heard this term, and I had to look it up just to see if this is really a term that psychology has used, and they call it the lizard brain. Don't look at anybody. You got a lizard brain, man. But what they have found out, you know, scientists have studied the human mind, the brain, the organ, the brain. And there's a place back here in your brain where it's the seat of all emotions. And it's like a libid system or something. I can't know that. But they call it the lizard brain because this is the only part of that. Have you heard that term, the lizard brain? Latay's like, no, Google it. Y'all can Google it after service, okay? But they're saying that that's the only part of the brain that a lizard has, so they call it the lizard brain. And I don't know why I'm going with this, but Dusty's like, where are you going with this? But you have more than a lizard brain, is what I'm trying to tell you. Amen? Way more than a lizard brain. God gave you a brain. So you've got to use your noodle, is what I'm saying. You got to use it, and you've got to renew it according to the Word of God. You're not a lizard. Amen? Now, I'm going to share something that I learned from this, the lizard brain, because I think it's going to help some people in here. Because there are people, and I've done enough pastoral care and counseling, that I have found that there are some people that are more given to addictions than some other people are. All right? And this area in the seat of your emotions is where the enemy lies to you. And that's where we hear the enemy's voice at. That's why God told us to renew our mind according to the Word of God. I'm going to give you another a better analogy than what I was going to do. But there was a little girl. I heard a pastor say this, and I thought it was really good. He told her, he had learned this about the lizard brain. And he told his daughter, and he has two other boys, and his daughter's the youngest one. And they were in a swimming pool, and their little boys, they were like 10 years old before they could swim. Remember, if you've ever had a pool, you always tried to swim the length of the pool underneath water, and then you thought, man, I've made it when I've done that, without diving off the diving board, by the way, doing it underneath water the whole way. And so the boys had done it when they were 10 years old, but here's this little girl, and they're all out in the pool together, and she's only 7, and her dad's a pastor, and her dad says, okay, when you go under the water, the lizard brain's going to come into effect. And she goes, there's a lizard in my brain? He said, no, you're going to hear the voice of the enemy telling you that you can't do it. But don't listen to that voice. Keep going. And so she went underwater. She takes off swimming. She's swimming underwater. She's going, and she gets all the way to the end, and she comes up and gasps for air, and she turns around and looks at her daddy, who's the pastor that told her about this lizard brain, and she said, "Daddy, that lizard is loud." Oh, and I thought that was so good. That's a better analogy than the one I was going to share, because that's what the enemy does in that the lizard brain, that area of our brain where the seat of our emotions are at, is he's lying to you that you can't do this, that you can't do that. You're not good enough, blah, blah, blah. And that's where we have to renew our mind according to the Word of God. So everybody can go home and tell somebody you learned a psychology term called the lizard brain, and it's there. Google it. But let's go to the Word of God, and we're going to look at the Apostle Peter and how he's this man of God who has renewed his mind some, thank the Lord. And this is 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. He says, "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders." I'm going to stop right there because we have a lot of young people in here today. You need to listen to people that are older than you. I knew I was going to get some amens there, because they have more life experiences than you do. They have more wisdom than you do. You need to listen to them. You that are in here that are teenagers, you need to listen to your parents. You need to obey your parents. There's a promise with that that says you will live well and you'll live a long time on the earth. The Word says that. Guys, I'm telling you, they're not being mean. They're being your parents. And if you're obedient, life goes so much better. And it spills over in our walks with God. And then he says, "All you clothe yourselves with humility." Everybody say humility. Humility. "Towards one another, because God actually opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble." Verse 6, man, he is stuck on this word humble. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." And verse 7 was the one that we all know. We've all heard this passage or this scripture, but we want to read it in context. He says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." He's not a lion. He's just walking around like one. "Resist him." There's only one lion, and that's the lion from the tribe of Judah, and that's Jesus. Verse 9 says, "Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings." It's because, you know, when we're having these anxious thoughts, we're thinking, you know, in fear and all those things, we're thinking we're the only ones. You're not the only one. We all go through these things. "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." Peter had to renew his mind according to the Word, and I've already been saying that. If you write out the word anxiety, I encourage you to do that in your notes there. If you write out the word anxiety, and it's there in verse 7, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you," the middle letter in the word anxiety is I. And what I have found out, and I know that Peter has as well, I have found this true in my own life, is whenever I try to control and manipulate and do things on my own, then the anxiety, the stress, the worry, the fear just increases. Am I telling the truth? So I'm hoping you're getting this out of this message. I'm going back to that verse 33 in Matthew 6. Jesus said, "Take all that stuff to me first. Trust me with it. And when you do, then I'm going to cause everything to my mighty hand," because you're humbling yourself. You're telling God, "God, I can't figure this out. I don't know." You're actually humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, that mighty hand. And then he says, "Then my hand is free to work in your life and arrange and work out, orchestrate things to line up." Doesn't say that you're not to do anything. We have to take steps of faith and all that. But God says, "I just want you to be at peace about it, not worried about it, not fearful about it," and all those things. And because God says, I want to work all this together for your good, but you've got to come to me first. Look at somebody and say, "You got to come to him first." And Peter said, when you do that, when you humble yourself, Here's what you're really doing. When you're trying to control and manipulate things and do all that, you're basically telling God, I don't need you. And you still may be praying about it, but you're still doing it all like it's all up to you. You know, and God's saying, no, I want you to partner with me. Give it to me. Come to me first. And we're going to work all this out. And everybody said amen. All right, let me give you three things real quickly, and that you can write these down. Three ways to overcome anxiety, fear, and worry, AFW. Consider anxiety, fear, and worry as enemies of your soul. Hope you've got that so far in this teaching today, because they are. Don't let them stick around. You know, when you start having anxious thought, fear, and worry, don't just sit there and, like, you know, I keep coming back to Christina. Don't say, well, this is just part of being a mother. This is just, you know, I'm going to have to be anxious and fearful. No, you're not. Go to God. Give that to the Lord. Go to Him first. And when you do that, I hate to use the word practice. We're talking about practice. That's the Allen Iverson thing Mark Ward knows about. When you practice that, it becomes easier and easier and easier, and then the enemy quits renting so much space in your mind. Because he's like, I ain't going to bring no anxious thought to her because she's going to go to the Lord. Very first thing. We're done. You know, but it may take time. That's going to take time to renew your mind to that level. There's some of you in here, so you're just bound up with anxiety, fear, and worry. I used to be like that. I can remember going to a pastor for counseling one time. And I was telling him all the things, you know, I'm fixing to be a dad, and I got all this stuff, and I got bills to pay, and I'm not making enough at my job, and blah, 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 blah. And my pastor sat there and heard everything I was dumping out to him, and he said, Mark, he said, I want to give you a scripture. I was like, do I really need a scripture? You know, that's where I was in my walk with the Lord at that time. Oh, God, it's come to scripture. And he said, here's the scripture that you need, Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And I was like, well, thank you very much. And that didn't help one bit. You know, and I left there, and that the more I've walked with God, the more I realized he was right on. And I should have listened back then, but I still try to figure it all out myself. So you've got to, so as soon as those thoughts come, don't just sit there and think, oh, you know, everybody feels this way, you know, and this is part of being a mom, it's part of being a dad, it's part of my job, you know. No, you've got to see them as enemies. Don't let them sit in your car seat with you, you know, if you're driving, don't let them sit in the passenger seat with you. They got to get out. You've got to kick them out. So have that militant attitude when you have those kind of thoughts come. Everybody got that? And then the second thing that you do is, goes right along with it, turn those thoughts into prayers first. Not okay, I'll try to figure all this out myself. Turn all those thoughts into prayers. Will your prayer life increase? Oh, yeah. You're going to have a great relationship with the Lord. He wants to know it all anyway. He knows it all anyway. And he wants to have that fellowship and that relationship with you. All right, and here's number three. Believe in faith and confess God's love. We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith, Jesus told us to have faith in God and confess God's love. You have got to know that God loves you. My dad, every time he comes to church, he tells me in some way, form, or fashion that, and he's like, Mark, I'm just loving this revelation that God loves me, that I have a Father in heaven that loves me and cares for me. Amen. Guys, that is the greatest revelation that anybody can get. Amen. And that's what Jesus was teaching in Matthew chapter 6 on the Sermon on the Mount to the people that only heard about how God was mad at them and they need to get right with God and they need to follow the Ten Commandments or they're going to hell. And Jesus came and said, you know what? The Father loves you. And if you fall in love with my Father, you'll fulfill all the commandments. Because they're summed up in two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Bingo. It's really simple, guys. The gospel is a very simple message. It's a message of love. All right, I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. Did everybody learn something today? Okay. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I want to lead you in a prayer today. I do this every Sunday because I don't know who's going to be here, and I don't know who's watching by Church's Aid or who's going to be listening to this on the radio. But I want to make sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. In Romans chapter 10, tells us how to do that. It says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in a prayer of salvation today. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer after him. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. I want our praise team to come back up here, and we're going to go out. I kind of mentioned this to Taya when we got done with there's always an anointing on this song, but this today there was a huge anointing on this song, and it's called No Longer Slaves. And if you want to, I want you to go ahead, if you can, stand. If you can just sit there and worship if you can't stand for this whole song. I know there's some of you that just need to sit, and that's okay too. But we're gonna go out singing about no longer slaves, and it's talking about that we're no longer slaves to fear and that we are a child of God. And I want you to really listen. When you sing these words, really listen to them, because there's a powerful message in them. So go ahead, guys.
Can you unmute me? Thank you. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me. My enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear, 'cause I am a child of God. I'm no child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me, and love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through. I'm no longer a slave to fear, 'cause I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, child of God. Oh, I am a child of God.
Amen. We are children of the Most High God. And everybody said, amen. All right, I want to speak a blessing over you guys. Tay, just keep on playing. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Jade and I are going to get back here at the back, so God bless you. You're dismissed. Love you guys.